No ja som chtěla poděkovat v češtině. Předem děkuji paní Hajčové, a takže Magdě Ševčíkové a všem vám, že jste přijeli a že máte zájem o toto téma. A doufám, že to bude užitečné pro vás. A tak dovolte mi, abych pokračovala v angličtině. The title of my talk is general, the language model in Bulgarian tree bank. And so I would like to give an overview of the tree bank and some new things that we did recently. So the outline of the talk is some general overview, then synopsis of annotation principles from both perspectives, more linguistic and implementational, and the levels of linguistic knowledge representation. And then I would like to introduce our attempt to convert our tree bank into a dependency format and what the results are, and then handling some linguistic phenomena in our tree bank, and of course outlook and conclusions. And so I begin with the general overview, some statistics in the beginning. The HPHG based format of our tree bank, it is not a big tree bank, but you see the sentences around 15,000 and the tokens around 200,000, which is a good start, but we need more. In dependency format, you see that, I hope you can see the numbers, it drops because we didn't incorporate the elliptical stuff into the dependency format. I mean, it is only the first attempt, and still we have a lot of work to do to get a good dependency format. So, what linguistic information is encoded in our tree bank? So, we have the constituent structure. So, the traditional labels as nominal group, verbal group, and so on, with crossing branches, because in Bulgarian the word order is relatively free, so we cannot do without crossing branches. Dependency information, later on you will see in what way it is displayed. We have information about head complement structures, head adjunct structures, and head adjunct relations also. Some functional information, and here I mean some additional stuff like pragmatic elements, discontinuous elements, clauses. Additionally to that, we encoded ellipses and some coreference relations. And then, as I already said, we have a conversion to dependency structures. And again, as I said, the ellipsis stuff is not incorporated yet, and coreference as well is out of this format. The sources of the tree bank, we can say we have two layers. The first layer, we call it a core set of sentences, and it's basically from Bulgarian grammars on syntax, traditional ones, and only one formal generative grammar. And of course, here we have already predefined analysis, and that's why we call it core set of sentences. All important phenomena should be included in these grammars. Then the second layer is the randomly selected sentences from newspapers or from literature, more recent kind of prose. And here again, when the sentences are isolated, you know, the ambiguity becomes bigger. I mean, more analyses are available for one and the same sentence. And the third layer, whole articles from newspapers and from books. And then already we can resolve some kind of elliptical elements and coreferences because we have all the context there. So just a small example. When we have isolated sentences, of course you know that, but just to put some example, two ambiguous interpretations. If we have the sentence, okay, Bulgarian is a prodrop language like Czech, and so we have two possibilities here. When he came in, he breathed hard. And so one possibility is the prodrop to be connected with he, I mean, to be the same person, basically, or the person who came in and the person who breathed hard to be two different people. And this is one just example of this interpretation. So, sentence from random layer. Now I will not talk about what you see as linguistic stuff, I will do that later. I would like to concentrate only on what happens when we go, let's say, to another genre or just in this case, from newspapers. All of a sudden we have named entities like Poland, the name for location, and the special law for regional politics, which is named other kind name of the law. So a lot of named entities come up in the newspapers and in the prose. Annotation principles, theoretical aspects, we try to be based on HPSG language model, but I should underline based because it is not really HPSG tree bank in the sense we don't see this special kind of attribute value matrices. It is very difficult to display, at least for the longer sentences. And I know that for the Dutch tree bank Alpino, they first did in HPSG real format, and then they did it in dependency format, which was much friendlier for people to use than the real HPSG. So we applied only the principles, but we used the context-free trees to display our linguistic information. And implementational aspects, we did it in XML presentation. Everything was done in XML. And if we have time or if someone is interested, I could show that. Just a few words about the HPSG-based language model. We deal with linguistic objects, sort hierarchy or the linguistic ontology, and grammar or theory. So the linguistic objects we already have from the grammars, and we had to change the sort hierarchy. And in fact, what is new from the tree bank, and we plan to publish this formal grammar for Bulgarian because we had to take a lot of new decisions different from the traditional views on the grammar. And then the third component, it is the principles, universal and specific for Bulgarian. Of course, they are not only for HPSG, but for every theory. And we try to incorporate the head feature principle when the head, just the phrase inherits all this information, the syntactic information from the head. The valence principle, the head is responsible for the realization of their dependence. Adjunct principle, in this phrase is the adjunct selects the head. And the semantic principle, now it's not incorporated because we don't have any semantics yet in the tree bank. Okay, it's just more abstract. We will see in a while how it is incorporated. And just a small example on the hierarchy of the phrases. We had two types of phrases, headed phrase and non-headed phrase. For non-headed phrase, at the moment we consider only the coordination. It is always problematic for every framework. And the headed phrase, well, we have the traditional things like head complement, head subject, head adjunct, and head filler for extraction phenomena. Additionally, under head adjunct phrases, we have head semantic adjunct and head pragmatic adjunct, because some of the adjuncts do not contribute with its semantics, let's say the vocatives, and some other, we will see them later. And that's why we distinguish here between them. So, HPSG separates the linear order from the constituent structure. And I know that in the Prague dependency tree bank it is done in layers as well, the surface structure and the logical structure. And here we try to do it in one and the same place. All the information in the tree. So we kept the surface order, word order, but we try to find a mechanism to say that it depends on some higher node. Then, as I already said, the constituent structure, it is not pure constituent structure, it reflects dependency relations. And we decided to keep the following principle for the realization of the dependence. First, always to realize the complements of a head, and then subject as an external argument, and afterwards the adjuncts. And it influences our decisions later, of course. Okay, as I said, from the implementational point of view, we have XML additive trees. It is not standalone annotation. We try to put everything in one and the same file, all the information. And we have graphical counterparts. I'm not sure whether I could show at this moment what I'm talking about when I talk about XML trees. Okay, I mean, I'm sorry, it's the dependency part, but we will wait for that a little bit. Okay, so this is the XML structure. And this is the tree that annotators worked on after putting the morphological information and the chunk grammar information. And from this, we can get the graphical view also. Something like this. And it is good for checking the results afterwards. Okay, maybe we can come later. That again. So, the levels of linguistic knowledge representation. As usual, at the lowest level we have the word forms, as they are. Then, as attributes to this XML tree, we have encoded the morphological information. All analysis and the correct analysis in the context. The lexical elements, like abstraction over the morphology, syntactic elements, named entities, as I already showed, dependency reflection, because it is connected with the constituent labels, let's say VPA means head adjunct structure, or NPC means the head is a noun and some complement follows. And functional elements, which is discontinuous elements, pragmatic elements, relations. We basically encode three types of relations. The coreference one, discontinuity and ellipses. Okay, and now we come to this example three. Here, at the lowest level, we see the text, the word forms. And in this layout, we don't have the morphological information, but it really depends on the tasks. If we want, we could have it next to these labels. Then we have these lexical notes. And also we decided to keep the punctuation, which I really don't know whether it's good or not. Somebody don't like it, somebody likes it. Nevertheless, it's there. And then we have the phrasal notes. You might wonder why it is so colorful. It is not only to attract people, but every head has its own color. Let's say verbal head is yellow, and then we can follow the inheritance of the syntactic characteristics. So we see this is the head and this is inherited in the mother note. The same with this NP structure. This is the head and it is inherited here. Another thing that we see is the prodrop relation. Both subjects are underspecified and we establish a coreference between them. So the person who watched the film and who didn't understand its meaning is the same one. That's basically what is there. And here we have this label of the relative clause. So this is the structure, the basic structure. If we go to the lexical elements, of course, we have to deal with two types, simple ones, one orthographic word, which is no problem, and complex. So in our tree bank, we allow several levels of lexical signs, which means that sometimes lexical signs combine and they make another lexical sign. We need it for the verbal complex in Bulgarian, the verbal head with clitics, or the so-called da construction. I'll show you example in a minute. For the numerals, subordinators, prepositions, and others. And another interesting thing is the focalizers, like only or even. When they combine with the lexical head, we do not project a phrase. Again, it projects a lexical sign, because otherwise it is difficult to differentiate from other modifiers. Okay, in the next slide, I can show you some examples of these several layer lexical signs. And the first one, so Bulgarian is analytical language. It lost its infinitive. And instead of that, we have the so-called da construction. Here, we have the particle da, and then the main verb. And then in between, we can have dative or accusative clitics. And in our scheme, we consider it to be a lexical sign, not a phrase. Then the same, as I said, for numerals. For example, 30 and 8. It is one lexical sign and one subordinator, which means in order to. Okay, so the syntactic elements are the traditional, they present the traditional domains, nothing specific or more interesting here. So the functional elements that we have, okay, it's only conditionally here, the clauses and sentence. The clauses are presented only with respect to the subordinator not its semantics. And that's why it has, they have this maybe not understandable by other people labels like close da, which is the particle da, close che, which in Czech would be že, za da would be something like abi, something like that, and the relative and questions. So it's really depending on the subordinator. Then we have the markers of coordination, the conjunction and conjunction arguments. And as I said, we view it as a non-headed phrase, which was a problem when we had to convert it to dependency, because in this context they insisted that we had always some head, which is impossible. Markers of the ellipses, the sign and ellipse, markers of discontinuity. There are three types of discontinuity that I'd like to attract your attention after a while. Pragmatic elements and just a helping label for non-immediate dominance. So, what I call dependency reflection is that on the phrases we have explicit indication whether this phrase is head adjunct, as we see here, or head complement, and it depends whether the head is noun or verb. So in most of these structures, we can derive the head, because obviously in some structure NPA, the head will be N. Problematic are only the structures with two N's, NN, or when we have two participles, I mean the same label, then we have problems to say, to derive automatically the head. But otherwise, it's a trivial thing. And non-explicit coordination phrase, which is anyway head, headless, and PP. So, a few words about the dependency representation. Last year we participated in the so-called Cornwall shared task, and they had special requirements how the tree bank should look like, so we were not in the position to decide what is most appropriate for us or not. But anyway, in the format, as I said, we skipped the elliptical stuff only and coreferential. Our non-projective trees are better than the projective ones, because otherwise it's not the reality for Bulgarian. And we can present two graphical views. So I know that it's not readable, but we have the list of dependency links on our web page. So I'm not going to pay too much attention here. Just who is interested on that, please see it. So I, on purpose, just I chose a very small tree, a very short one. And I would like to show you how it is in the original format and what happens into dependency format. So this means the following. This is heart my beats strongly. So also in Bulgarian we have clitic, possessive clitic pronouns, which is not the case in Czech. And that's why, as I said, when we have a head with a clitic and we project a lexical sign. So then we have structure of type head subject. So this is the subject of the verb beats, and then it comes as an adjunct. And the structure is of type head adjunct. Now, so the dependency arrow presentation, of course, you don't see the arrows themselves, but you see the labels below. It says that the clitic depends on the heart, which is the subject, and it depends on the verb, which is the root. And then the adjunct also depends on the verb, and also by default the punctuation. The blue links, we were forced to put them for the contest, for the Cornwall track, and they have to represent the projective trees, but it's problematic. So our real relations are here, up. So, and the next graphical view, I called it dependency leaf tree. Here you can see, of course, it's, I think, better readable. The root is the verb, and the subject depends on it, the adjunct depends on it, the punctuation depends on it, and the clitic depends on the subject. And here we have the morphological information also. Of course, there are still some errors in more complicated sentences. But we are happy that we have now this this format also. So, now about handling some linguistic phenomena. Usually the problematic phenomena are the word order, excluding the English language, I think, coordination, ellipses, coreference, and pragmatic expressions and focalizers. And so that's why I decided just to tell you more about them. The word order. So we have two possibilities in Bulgarian. We could do some permutations of the same sentence, and they do not cause crossing branches effect. So our analysis goes smoothly in the way our scheme wants. And then discontinuity that violates the order of dependent realization, which is not a very rare phenomena in Bulgarian language. We already have one of our PhD students that defended a thesis on types of discontinuity in the verbal phrase on the basis of the tree bank. So I just briefly put some example of permutations. This is the sentence Petya visits Prague, and you see that always when you have the verb and the complement, they are always adjacent each to other. They could switch their places, but no problem for the analysis. However, when something comes in between the realization rule scheme, then we have a problem. And now I begin with the first, I think it is the most often type of discontinuity, when a higher dependent is realized between the head and a lower dependent. So, this is a question, and it says, did Ivan meet his reviewer? So this is the verb, meet, Ivan, reviewer, his. And so, the verb, according to our scheme, wants the complement. And we put this label of type head complement. However, the subject is in between, so it causes this crossing branches effect. And in this case, we put a label called disc A. This is one of the possible discontinuities. And then we establish this label, which says non-immediate dominance. And via this mechanism, we can say that the dependent belongs to a higher, the higher head subject phrase. I don't know, maybe it would be interesting to show you how it is done, not in the graphical view. Let's say here. Okay, in the XML tree, we have index. And within this index, I said we manage three types of relations. Coreference, discontinuity, and ellipsis. And here, we have discontinuity and some kind of coreference. And we manage it like establishing some kind of variable. So here we put some ID. And then this disca has the ID. And we put this non-immediate dominance under the phrase where this should belong. On the grounds of constituency, of course. So this is how it looks like in the non-graphical view. And here we have the coreference between Ivan and his reviewer. The other kind of discontinuity that we have is the outer realization of an inner element. It means that its head is lower in the tree, and usually we call it extraction. It's again a question, and it means this is the verb prefer. You prefer a book from which author? This is from which author? And we say that book from some author is an NP phrase, and so it's extracted here. And in this case, we need this type of phrase, head filler phrase. And partly because in XML representation, we always have to have some kind of node there, some kind of parent. The last type of discontinuity, it is very rare, but because our tree bank reflects the traditional grammars, and in traditional grammars, we have very patriotic poems and, you know, excerpts from classical prose books. And so we have this mixed kind of discontinuity when the elements of two constituent structures are mixed. But it is really archaic. It is maybe in the colloquial speech, but not in the written Bulgarian. So what does it mean? That this phrase is little girls, so should be one phrase, and then we're picking it. It means the flower. And both are extracted from their original phrases or lexical or phrasal signs. Okay, now I come to coordination stuff. Of course, I know we are not the first and not the last to deal with that, but in our tree bank, we decided to underspecify the coordination phrase because we had examples with unlike coordination, category coordination. And so we decided that the grammatical role of the conjuncts will be decisive, not the syntactic label. Then we should pay attention to the valency of the conjuncts, whether they have the same requirements or not. And last but not least, here, the order of dependence realization. I would like to remind you that we decided to realize the complements first, then the subject, and last, adjuncts. And so if something interferes in that order, we should find another way, because otherwise we would be inconsistent in our annotation. So, Here is one example where the realization of dependence matters. Maybe I... I don't think it's crucial if you don't understand the words, because I would like to talk about the structures here. But we have the coordination phrase and the first conjunct. This is the conjunction AND, and then the second one. So as we see, we realized the subject in the first one. Another possibility could be if we just put before brackets the subject and then coordinate the predicates together. But we didn't do that. And the reason is very simple. If I did that, I would violate this realization of dependence, because here we have an adjunct, and if I put the subject in front, then I would be forced to take the adjunct before the subject, which is not what we want in our annotation scheme. That's why in these cases we prefer to realize the subject in the first conjunct, and then we established with the unexpressed subject some coreference relation, which is just another way to view the things. Now, just for illustration, coordination with one conjunct, when the previous one is in another sentence, we just view it with coordination with one conjunct. Okay. And when grammatical role matters, and when really it is very important to underspecify the coordination relation, because here we have the coordination of an adverb, quickly. It is, she went home quickly and excited. But in Bulgarian, excited has feminine gender, so it's adjectival group. And then, if we kept only these syntactic labels, we couldn't project anything like syntactic coordination. For that reason, we keep it like this, underspecified. And the grounds on which we coordinate them is their grammatical function. Both of them are adjuncts. And that's why here we have this relation, het adjunct relation. Okay, and the last example for coordination. As I said, when the two, let's say, conjuncts have the same requirements, we could coordinate them, and afterwards to realize the complement, as in this case. Okay, now we go to the ellipses. You already know about the layers in the tree bank, and for that reason, we need two types of ellipses. The first one, which is repaired within the sentence, it is in the isolated sentences, and then the ellipses, which depends on broader context. And here I mean the whole articles or parts of books that we annotated. You have the usual labels for ellipses, but it is very interesting to see the attributes. For example, which are repaired within the sentence, they could be equal. I mean, what we copy as missing could be equal to the host, could be a variant of a host, and could be completely opposite. On the other hand, the attributes for the discourse or the broader context ellipses could be world knowledge, discourse, or here I mean context, and exists. Exists, here I mean only the verb, the auxiliary verb to be, because very often in headlines it is skipped. I will show you some examples. And now I will show some examples for each attribute. We start with ellipsis within the sentence. When the attribute is equal, you see this says in Central and Western Europe. And here it is equal. Europe is missing here. And this is the relation. Central Europe and Western Europe, nothing special here. So, variant. Yeah, you see there are a lot of relations. So this is the relation of the ellipsis. And this simply means that they told to the fox and she told or said to her tail. And so told here is plural, they told. And here she told is singular. So it is a variant of the host. And the opposite. I extracted only part of the sentence because sometimes they are really big. Here, for example, it says, where there is no love, but, and that there should be there is, scorn, I'm not sure about the English word. So, here it is there isn't, and here the elliptical stuff needs the opposite, there is. So that's it. In Bulgarian, just in Czech, it would be neni, a je, something like that, in this contrastive context. Okay, and now the ellipsis within broader context. Where the attribute is discourse. This is a sentence extracted from an article, an interview with a very nice question. Would you feel yourself rich in Bulgaria if you got 5,000 leva? And now one of the people just answers something like that, certainly with more than 5,000 leva. And here we can derive from the discourse, from the question, that the elliptical stuff is certainly I will feel rich with more than. And here what I meant by the attribute exists in the broader context. I said it's basically in the headlines of newspapers. And it says, this sentence says, corruption, problem number one for half of the businessmen. And so here, this means corruption is problem number one for half of the businessmen. So it's a very frequent pattern. And our world knowledge ellipsis. For example, some kind of organization, let's say it's called itself defense, it says something. But here we have this colon at the place of, for example, this organization said something, if the power, and so on and so on. And here we can derive it from our knowledge, from what we expect. Okay. We go to the pragmatic expressions. Here, we meant the following. Vocatives, modal adverbials, parenthetical elements, and focalizers. Everything that, in one way or another, expresses the attitude of the speaker. Okay, some example with vocative. It is from a poem. I sing for you, mother, freedom, let's say. So according to us, vocatives are adjuncts, pragmatic adjuncts. They can be coreferentially related to some parts of the sentence, but they are not part of the sentence. And so you see the connection between you and mother, freedom, but It is pragmatic expression. Another example with parenthetical elements. It is again about a person who was interviewed and about his age, which is in brackets. Usually they come in brackets. And an example with focalizer, which is pretty complicated. For example, the sentence says, they gave him only bread for dinner. And here only stresses bread. So here we project lexical note, not phrasal one. Of course, it could be much more problematic because sometimes the scope of only could be on the left and on the right. It's not so trivial to fix the boundaries. But in such cases, when the position is telling what is it, we just project lexical sign. A few words about the coreference. We encode it only some types, like equality, member of a set, and subset of a set, which is very rare. And the linguistic parameters, what is involved, it is the prodropness, as you already saw, secondary predication stuff, and binding also. And I will give you only one example, which is, I think, complex enough, but it encodes the member of, the prodrop stuff, and control. And what it basically says, it is like this. The participants are two, and it says, I asked him to wait for me, we to talk. And so obviously I and him, we are members of the predicate to talk. And on the top of it, we have this process coreference, the unexpressed I with accusative me and the other things as well. Okay. So, this is briefly what I thought I will manage given the time. But just a few words about what we would like to do, like next steps in the tree bank development. We would like to incorporate a semantic lexicon, and not only lexicon, but it should be connected to some kind of ontology. And for the moment, we tried to work with the output of a simple project, which works nicely for verbs, but for adjectives, let's say, or for nouns, it is still problematic. So maybe we will switch to other alternatives also. And we would like to have some shallow semantic annotation. No scope things, but only some semantic parameters on the top of the heads and dependents and the inheritance of that. And the second task, extension of coreference relations, like part of, there are very interesting bridging ones and so on. These are the two basic things. At the moment, we are involved in two projects on creation of ontology. I hope that we could get some expertise and just to apply it to the tree bank and not to be very late from now. So, as a conclusion, Bulgarian Tree Bank exists in two formats now, HPHG-based and dependency-based, and it will be expanded in two directions. One, of course, is more sentences, and then semantic annotation. This is the link that you can go to. There you can have free use of the software. That just a small part of it I showed to you. The dependency format of Bulgarian Tree Bank, but it is under license. I mean, you should send your request and then you receive the Tree Bank. I mean, you cannot just download it from there. And there is morphologically processed corpus of Bulgarian also. And as facilities, you can find technical reports and documentation. And, okay, thanks for your attention. And if you have any questions, I would be happy to answer.
Well, thank you very much for your presentation. I think many of us here participate at the Prague Dependency Tree Bank project, so we can compare the two approaches. I think this was one of the reasons why we were looking forward to listen to your presentation. I think that we all have observed there are many things which we have in common, but there are also several things in which we differ. And I would like to mention two or three of them. Maybe that you will comment upon those points, I mean you and you, in the discussion. One of the things which struck me as being one of the, I would say, most visible differences is that we have tried to conceive Prague Dependency Tree Bank as a structured tree bank, so that we wanted to keep apart information on different layers of the tree bank, and somehow we feel, I hope that all of us feel, that there are some good reasons why to differentiate or why to keep apart the different layers of information. And it seemed to me then in your proposal, these different kinds of information are being kept on in one scheme, I mean in one tree, in one object. And that would be my first question, whether a retrieval of information into in such a complex object as your trees seem to be is easy, or whether it is not too difficult to do that. So that's one thing. Connected with that is that we try to put apart information which we would call linguistic information from the pragmatic information. And so, for instance, if we deal with coreference relations, we don't treat them, I mean, we have this dependency tree and then the coreference relations on the tree as a different dimension, I would say, of the tree. So again, I think with your trees, you have this coreference within the single tree. And then it seems to me that there is an overlap. For instance, you have the information on deletion, I mean the adding of notes in case of prodrop or deletions, but then you have a prodrop category as one of the categories of coreference. So I just wonder, now I'm coming to my more subtle questions, I mean I wonder how this is connected, I mean whether you find some prodrop which is not coreferential, and why do we have these two pieces of information? And my last question concerns, one thing which we sort of really insisted on was to take, not to take single sentences out of context. We try to have only, I mean, documents, that means sentences in context. And when I saw your first slide, quite a large proportion of your sentences are sentences which were randomly chosen. And I just doubt whether this will not deprive you of having some richer information in the tree or in other dimension of the tree bank if you have just these sentences out of context. I understand why you have sentences from Bulgarian grammars, because in grammars you have some information which perhaps, or some forms which perhaps would not appear in a small portion of text which you take into consideration. But I would prefer not to have these randomly selected sentences, unless they are not randomly selected, but selected on purpose. Okay, so that's, these are my points.
Okay. So to start with the first one was why we have everything in one and the same object. First, maybe I should stress on one other difference. I think that when you started your tree bank, you had pretty much a theory behind it. I mean, you had some formal grammars or already some kind of analysis on that and so on. And I think that you could consider it in this way. I mean, it is not only Prague tree bank. I think Alpino and others, they start from the grammar and then with the tree bank. In our case, it was the opposite. We started with the tree bank, and while compiling it, we came to our conclusions, to our reformulations of the Bulgarian grammar, and so on. And maybe there are some other factors, like the time constraint, and so on, and we wanted really to put as much as possible there. The other pragmatic question or technical question, I don't think whether there is a good answer, because we did it in XML and there are always two camps, like where this additive way is better or the standalone information is better. And I think that when there is too much information, of course, it's good to make it apart. But for the moment, for this size of the tree bank, we don't have problems. I have to confess that the very, very long sentences are difficult to display with all this information. What information we can get from the trees? The good thing about XML is that first we can get whatever layout we want. I mean, we can hide the information we don't want, and we can show what we want. And then we can extract only the information we are interested in. So from this side, I don't think we have problems with this. Of course, when you see everything in one and the same place, of course you are struck, because it's very complicated, these relations. I agree with that, definitely. So everything that you saw in one place could be just very divided and shown in another way, also in a better way. For that, you're right. So, could you help me with the next question?
Well, that was just a remark on this randomly selected.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was just a...
Yeah, yeah. It is not a good term. It is our mistake to say randomly. We meant randomly, not completely randomly, but the most... there were the most frequent with respect to some kind of ambiguities, so morphological ambiguities. That's why we called it randomly, because they're not connected with some other context. Maybe it's not a good term to call it. But there was some reason why exactly them and not the others.
Okay,
you're welcome.
So, some further remarks and comments. Sasha?
I'd like to ask about the relation between your grammar you mentioned at the very beginning and and the annotation. Can you actually check your annotation using the grammar? Is it in some formal shape? Or can you even do more, like maybe do some preliminary annotation on the basis of the grammar, some kind of parsing? Or maybe it's too futuristic, but...
If I understand you correctly, whether we have a mechanism to check the annotation?
Yes, somehow? Using your grammar.
You can see it in this very pragmatic way. We use a special DTD in the system, and practically this DTD says what you can have under each phrase, how many times it can happen there, and what is possible as a head or not. So basically this is the encoded grammar. I mean, I know it's a very practical way, but as I said, we are about to work on publishing it. And we use this DTD with all the stuff, what is possible and what it is not, for the conversion to the dependency.
Okay, so is there any relation between, say, your more theory-oriented HPSG grammar and the stuff you have in the DTD, like the maybe the principles or the signature? Is it somehow a one-to-one relation between the DTD and the
the principles and the schemes, not the representation itself, not the graphical representation, but basically the principles that we followed.
Okay, thank you.
So that's there.
I have two or three questions. I was just a bit confused by the way how do you use discontinuous. In one of your first slides was discontinuous versus pragmatic, and then discontinuous, or am I mistaken? I saw here discontinuous and pragmatics, and discontinuous is mentioned once more as a kind of relation. So please, could you explain the term of discontinuous? And the second question concerns the crossed edges, or how did you call it? Do you give several types of Bulgarian unprojectivities, we shall call it, and I think I will expect that in Bulgarian will be less non-projective construction, less cross brackets, cross edges than it is in Czech. One type which you have showed, I think it will not be crossed in Czech. If you will be so kind and illustrate once more this srešnali Ivan
recenzentasi,
this I think it is not a cross edge in Czech. And the third point concerns your term pragmatic adjunct. You mentioned some example, but I didn't catch it.
Okay.
Thank you.
So first, you asked about why I mentioned this here. This here? That these are relations?
The functional elements.
Uh-huh.
Yes, functional elements are.
Oh, I meant here the labels that we introduced, these labels, disk A, disk A, and disk M, because they help us to point the place of this particular element to the constituent that it belongs to. So I meant here just introducing these labels. And here I called it again here to the relations because we establish a special variable that connects this kind of phenomena. I mean just technical, in technical sense, not in linguistic sense here. To the crossing, you said we should go maybe, sorry, to Ivan. Not sure. Aha, maybe that is. So. Okay, we do that because in our annotation scheme, we first realized the complements. And so the complement of meet is the reviewer. Somebody meet the reviewer. And that's why the verb wants first to take its complement reviewer. And here, Ivan is the subject, which is the next argument to be taken. I mean, because of our scheme, because of our realization of dependence, that's why we are forced to do this. If we had a scheme that all this, the subject and the complement, could go together, there wouldn't be any reason to do this thing. I think we are hyper-correct here, but because we wanted to keep our annotation scheme consistent, just only for that reason. Of course, there are different possibilities, linguistic possibilities on that. I agree with you, yeah.
And
your
third was the pragmatic adjunct.
Yeah, the pragmatic adjunct was... We have an article on the vocatives, and there we claim that it's adjunct, pragmatic adjunct. So I don't support the view that it could be subject, okay, connected with the subject of this sentence. So we defended the view that it's adjunct. And it's pragmatic because it plays a role of in the situation, in the speech situation, not in the syntactic situation. And then the connection between the vocative and this stuff, you, in the sentence, is only coreference.
Okay. And is it a single type of pragmatic?
Yep. Yeah. Then parenthetical elements are also pragmatic, and adverbs like of course or more modal adverbials, they also come here. But it's very difficult to make the to say, okay, only these are the pragmatic and these are not. I mean, they're interconnection with some of them, and it's not so trivial to decide. But with the vocative, it is one way. I mean, the others are problematic, more or less. You're welcome.
Am I right that you're using XPath querying language in your annotation environment? You formulated some simple query when you were searching for some discontinuity. You write something like // disk A. Was it XPath?
It was XPath, yeah.
And I wanted to ask whether it is sufficient for linguistic queries which you need to formulate, or whether you have some other searching tools, or whether this is just all what you need.
Okay, it's efficient linguistic tool. However, at some point it becomes very complicated, very complex. That's true. Except for XPath, for navigating and for searching, in the system we have grammars, possibility to write regular expression grammars and to extract different kind of information also, and constraints also. I mean, there are different tools which are not necessarily based on XPath, on regular expressions also. Mm-hmm. Thank you.